Welcome to the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anna Glazer, MD, a reproductive and integrative psychiatrist here to help you make sense of the complex world of women's mental health. If your goal is to improve your emotional well-being, find fulfillment, and feel like your best self, you're in the right place. Welcome, my listener friends, to this very first episode of the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm excited to be bringing this podcast to you, and I hope that this content will help you achieve mental and emotional well-being the way that it has for so many of my patients. My goal is to take the scientific information out there in the field of women's mental health and distill it down to useful and practical advice that you can use to feel your best self. As a physician with over a decade of experience in the field of women's mental health, I can help guide you through the often overwhelming amount of information out there. In this first episode, I have three goals. The first is to share with you the expectations and goals for the podcast. The second is to describe myself and my background and where my passion for education comes from. And the third is to just give you a little bit of practical advice on where to find the most reliable types of information. So let's start at step one. What are the goals for this podcast? It's twofold. The first goal that I have is I want to share with you and provide you with some education and awareness on topics related to women's mental health and wellness. So that will include things like anxiety, mood, trauma, various kinds of perinatal conditions, hormonal issues, and more. And it'll also include topics related to various kinds of psychological aspects that a lot of women struggle with. That will be things like perfectionism, people-pleasing, guilt, and more. And then the second goal for the podcast is to provide you with some actionable advice from my many years of clinical experience, coupled with a variety of different mental health treatments and frameworks. So I'm going to be taking information from the scientific literature, from various kinds of psychotherapies, like cognitive behavioral therapy, from the data on mindfulness, from the literature on nutrition, from the information on fitness, botanicals, and much, much more, and to help synthesize that for you. Who am I? I am an integrative and reproductive psychiatrist. And what does that mean? So reproductive psychiatry really refers to working with women across their reproductive lifespan. So we're talking about everything from premenstrual symptoms to perimenopausal symptoms and everything in between. That includes women who are in the preconception phase, who might be struggling with fertility or loss, those who might be pregnant or postpartum, and everything in the entire lifespan of a woman's reproductive years. Integrative psychiatry is putting together concepts from all kinds of medicine. It means putting together the information that we have from Eastern and Western medicine, from complementary and alternative practices, in a way to support an individual as a whole. We don't just look at biology, we look at psychology and environment and much, much more. Where did I start? I began my interest in psychology when I graduated from Harvard with a degree in psychology and then went on to medical school, and then a residency in psychiatry at Harvard, and then a fellowship in integrative psychiatry. I've been working for many years at the University of California, San Francisco, and in private clinical practice. I've seen hundreds of women who are going through all kinds of mental health challenges. Hormonal ups and downs, relationship issues, grief and loss, trauma, perinatal and postpartum struggles, long fertility journeys, and much, much more. With all of my background, the key definer that I see myself as is as an educator. I view myself as an educator of both patients as well as clinicians. That's one of the reasons I enjoy working in academics, for example, because I have the opportunity to work with residents, fellows, and medical students. It's also one of the reasons that I've invested my time in a lot of different kinds of educational endeavors. When I'm educating patients, it's through various kinds of online resources, contributing to different publications like HuffPo and Healthline, as well as creating my own informational website called mindbodypregnancy.com, where I've written on numerous topics related to women's mental health, providing information and distilling down the science out there into a way of learning that information in bite-sized pieces. And then I also really enjoy educating clinicians. So like I mentioned, I'm on faculty at UCSF. I also launched an annual perinatal mental health conference that's been running for several years. And I do a wide variety of speaking engagements, really to teach clinicians out there about the field of women's mental health. It's definitely an area of growth and research and opportunity. So that's who I am, and those are my goals for this podcast. And the key thing that I want you to take away from this is that this podcast is one way for you to learn more about women's mental health and to help yourself feel better. What I want to do in this last part of this introductory episode is just give you a few suggestions about how to find reputable information beyond this podcast. And the first thing I want to advise is that it's really important to ask the right question. To ask a question that's going to be specific as opposed to vague. So here's an example. If you're considering starting a new medication and you're asking a very general question, is this medication dangerous? That's a very vague question, and you're not necessarily going to be able to find the right information out there because the word dangerous is very subjective. There's people out there who would say that skydiving is very dangerous and they would never start or try something like that. They want to keep their feet firmly planted on the ground, and other people who do it as part of their job. So the word dangerous is very subjective, and that's why that question makes it really hard for you to find the right information. So then let's revise that question. Let's change it to, what are the side effects of this particular medication? And that question is certainly better. It's more specific. But if any of you have ever taken a prescription medication and you take a look at the bottle, there's a pharmacy insert. And if you kind of take a look at that, that is pages and pages of something like size 4 font of all of the different things that the medication could potentially be related to. So the question of what are the side effects is still a little bit too vague and a little bit too general. So let's distill it down even further to perhaps something like, what are the common side effects of this particular medication? And when you ask a nice specific question like that, it's a lot easier for you to be able to find the information that you're looking for. So number one, ask the right question. Number two, it's important to look at the source for finding the right information. I recommend considering sources that are reputable, evidence-based, and tend to aggregate information for you rather than kind of one-off contributions. If you're particularly interested in reading scientific literature, I would encourage you to take a look at my Mind-Body Pregnancy article on 5 tips to reading medical journals. Some other sources of information that I consider reputable include the womensmentalhealth.org website, which is out of Mass General Hospital out in Boston, which is actually where I did my residency training. And they have an amazingly thorough website on all kinds of topics related to women's mental health. Another helpful resource could be Postpartum Support International. They are a really great organization that works with women who are pregnant, postpartum, and helps women find the support that they need at various parts of their identity transition. One caveat to all of the research that you might be doing to help you answer the questions that you have is don't fall into research rabbit holes. This goes back to asking the right question, but it also means that once you find the answer to that right question, that you don't necessarily continue searching on all kinds of potential tangents. The research rabbit hole is what happens when you start asking a question in Google, and then 3 hours later, you're still sitting there in front of your laptop wondering where the heck the time went, and you might have more questions than answers at the end of that 3-hour period. So my recommendations would be to ask the right question, to be mindful of where you're getting the information to answer that question, and to stop once you get the answer to that question to avoid the pitfall of research rabbit holes. So this podcast is really a launching pad for you to learn more, to seek out additional content, and engage and connect with experts such as your doctor. I look forward to bringing you more valuable content. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode. As you know, my goal is to share with you the most helpful information that moves you towards emotional well-being. If you have suggestions or questions, I'd love to hear those. And I also always appreciate a rating that will help others find this valuable content. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Please note that while I am a clinical doctor, this podcast is not a substitute for, nor should be taken as medical advice. No specific health advice is being given on this podcast, and no physician-client relationship is created by you listening to this podcast. All information provided on this podcast is for informational purposes only.